Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness to take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for your for the people and a light for the Gentiles. I will open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I will announce them to you.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
As a youth worker, every time we have a reading like this, I get to think of the questions I would be asked by my young people. And to be honest, they're the questions I would ask as well. Of this reading in Matthew, the question is always, why does Jesus need to be baptized? In my head, I'm like, surely he doesn't. This is God. And if you Google this, you probably won't get a good answer. So this is not one which you can you can fudge with the thinking, you know what, someone else will think this through for me. This is one we have to wrestle with. This is one we have to come to terms with. This is one we're going to come to our own understanding of. So, first part, I'm going to give you a minute to think through what are the possible reasons for you that Jesus needs to be baptized. And then, in the next couple of minutes, you're going to talk to someone next to you, or in the row before you and after you, and you're going to explain what your possible reasons could be. So, let's just have a minute to think. And also, those who don't like talking to people, I'm giving you a minute also to build yourselves up to talk to someone. So have a minute to think. What are the possible reasons why Jesus needs to be baptized, or they need to tell us that Jesus is baptized? Okay, get the genesis of that thought together. Then I want you to turn to someone near you, behind you, in front of you, next to you. Sunday and summer, you can help Glenn with this, and Anne. Okay, bring your conversations to a close. Oh, sorry, all right. I'll leave you for a bit longer, I've been told. I'll come and talk to Richard and Catherine if that's all. To kind of do some bit of my sermon, Trudy. Let me just a bit told. I just need to talk for another 10 minutes and then we'll be fine. Don't make myself a cup of tea. No, I love the fact that as a church, this is the thing that kind of brings energy, right? Like we talk to each other, we work out faith and theology in relationship with each other. I talked to a couple of the groups, but I'm not going to share what they said. You'll have to ask them during tea and coffees. Go and ask someone at the end of the service, what did you think if you weren't in a group with them? Have a time to talk to each other. What does this mean to your faith? How does this make your faith work? Because I don't know for you. But for me, I was reading a quote by Rowan Williams. It said, baptism in the Jordan is a messy business. It wasn't this thing of setting Jesus apart, baptism as a rite which takes away him from humanity, from others, and says, I'm special, I am baptized, I am different. It is something that links him irrevocably from the humanity of what he's doing. The Jordan is a working river, messy and muddy. He would have gone in with all the other stuff. And it wouldn't have been like the tap here where I pour a nice clean pool of water and that signifies cleansing in a way which, it's clean water. The Jordan is not clean. It would have been going into a muddy mess, being enclosed in that muddy mess and coming up, having worked through it. And is that not linking us directly as humans in the story of God? God came down into the muddy mess and stayed there with us. And as I thought about how this directs my faith, I realized the most important passage for me in the Bible is the one at the end of this. For you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. As I thought about what it means to be whole, we do the peace. We say, peace be with you. I often say that word shalom means wholeness. We can't capture it enough in English. We can't embed it enough into what it means. As I offer that blessing to people, I want to see God make whole. I see a moment where God affirms Jesus' wholeness. In his full humanity, he says, you are my son. He gives him his rightful title. He says, you are my son, with whom I am proud, who I love. He affirms him in his being. With you I am well pleased. An affirmation that says, hey, I know it's messy down there, but you're doing a good job. And in that short part of this verse, I see all we need in our relationship with God. To know and to hear that we are a child of God, whom God loves and who God is pleased with. And from that place of wholeness, we are able to then work towards wholeness for the people around us. When you look at what things trap people in oppression, in poverty, in life circumstances, which we say, well, should be easy to get out of. You just walk away, you do something. Whatever that oppression is, there's many, many cases. One of the things that holds people in that oppression is a sense that they are worthless, that they deserve the thing that's happening to them. So God offers us this and says, you are worth the world. You are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Hear that. Take it into your core. And then, as is in our baptism liturgy, shine as a light in the darkness, because you are whole and you are able to give out from that place of wholeness.